Hello, my friends. I'm Bill McLaughlin. Welcome to St. Paul Sunday.
St. Paul Sunday is produced by Minnesota Public Radio and made possible by a major grant from the Minnesota-based General Mills Foundation, supporting excellence in education, human services, and the arts. Additional funding has been provided by the National Endowment for the Arts and by this Public Radio International station. Join us today with our guest, the Quartetto Gelato.
Some years ago, the great scholar Johann Huizinga wrote a book called Homo Ludens, a study of the play element in culture. And I should make a confession right now that I never read the whole book, but I browsed through it. And I like very much Huizinga's notion of man as a creature who has an element of play in everything he or she does. I like this better than Homo sapiens, where we worry about whether we're very intelligent or whether we use tools or whether we build communities, because I think play is so central in what concerns we as musicians most of all. Play is central to any kind of art, whether it's painting, whether it's dancing, whether it's making music. All of these start out as a kind of child's play. Today, we have an ensemble of spectacular young musicians who've never let the play go out of their serious music making. It's Quartetto Gelato, and rather than tell you all about them, we'll introduce them later. Let's let you hear them. Here is Quartetto Gelato. That's purely astonishing. This is a Ruggiero Leoncavallo, that aria called Mattinata, sung by the man who was playing the violin. This is unheard of. I've never heard of anything nor seen anything quite like this. This is the Quartetto Gelato, which has opened this program, and I should say welcome to Cafe St. Paul Sunday, because it's a very unusual ensemble we have in today. Peter DeSoto is our tenor and our violinist. Peter, I've never seen anyone put down the violin and sing so beautifully as you just did. Have you been doing this all along for your career? You used to be a violinist with the Toronto Symphony. I'm sure they didn't like you standing up at a rehearsal and singing like this.
I have to say it was very difficult being with the Toronto Symphony and seeing people getting up on stage and singing and knowing that I was buried within this section. I have always said that the stage wasn't big enough for my ego and 100 other people.
Well, you've found a wonderful venue for it now. Let's meet the other members of the group. Our accordionist and wonderful players is Joseph Massarolo. That's quite an instrument you have there, Joe.
Oh, thank you. It's a big instrument. I have two accordions and one, not to take up too much time. I have the standard folk accordion, and I have three extra rows of buttons on my left hand which allow me to play concert music. It extends the pitch about 6.5 octaves on the instrument.
Before we went on the air, you said you had started out, well, you're playing accordion, but you actually went to the University of Toronto as a pianist.
That's right, yeah. They made me major on piano. The accordion wasn't accepted. Since then, since I graduated with a master's degree, they asked me to start a program for acceptance. And
so
we do have one now.
Teaching at your alma mater.
Yes.
That's great. We were playing guitar on this first one. We're about to hear him pick up the cello. George Meanwell, most people can't manage that double either.
Well, it's interesting. When I was a student, I told a cello teacher of mine that I also played guitar, and he sort of looked at me sourly and said, "That's not a very useful double." And so part of the enjoyment that I get from playing with Quartetto Gelato is the sweet revenge in which I find it an extremely useful double.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. And saving the fairest for last, we have our oboist, Cynthia Stelgis, if I say your name correctly, do I?
Yes, bravo.
You were playing a solo oboe in a lot of Canadian orchestras and all sorts of things.
Yes, but really where my interest lay was always playing in chamber music. I'm one of the unusual wind players. I want to play all the time. And so playing Quartetto Gelato, do I not only get to play many different styles of music that aren't usually inclusive of the oboe, but I also get to play in so many different styles of playing, that being solo playing and playing in a chamber music style as well. And really, I mean, often we talk about trying to sound as different instruments when we talk within the quartet, and I get a chance to play, you know, trumpet parts and second violin parts and bassoon parts, and I love it. I love the being stretched as a musician.
Mm-hmm. Well, folks, you're going to see a little bit more of what we mean. This is a transcription which Cynthia has actually made of music of Antonin Dvorak from the Bagatelles, Opus 47. We're going to hear the second and third Bagatelles. The original setting of Dvorak was for two violins, cello, and harmonium, so actually the accordion is a very good substitution for that. Here's Quartetto Gelato playing music of Antonin Dvorak. Yeah, that's wonderful. It's actually one of my favorite little pieces of Dvorak. This is from the Bagatelles, Opus 47. We heard the second and third of those Bagatelles as an arrangement by our oboist, Cynthia Stelges. This was Quartetto Gelato. And if you tuned in at the beginning of the program, hearing our tenor, Peter De Soto, singing Leon Cavallo's music, Mattinata, this is quite a different picture of gelato. Here you could fit into almost any standard chamber music program, this music that you just played. It actually sounds very much like the original setting of Dvorak. You substitute the oboe for the violin and accordion for the harmonium. But people never can find a harmonium anyway, so this is
tour the harmonium.
Yeah, this is some sort of example of what Quartetto Gelato does when it plays just beautiful music beautifully without any message beyond that. But there's a great deal of your repertoire which extends into other crannies of the musical existence. You know, it reminds me a little, but sometimes when musicians are together at a festival, we've all had this experience, if you have a night or two off and there's not much place to go, nobody has a car, you start to sometimes pick up each other's instruments, and a very good violist may pick up a horn, French horn, which he hasn't played since junior high school, and you put together this goofy little orchestra. The difference with Quartetto Gelato is that you play these alternate instruments, play two or three instruments, some of you, extraordinarily well. How do you find the time? Say, let me ask George, who's playing now cello. We just heard you play the guitar beautifully. How do you find the time to keep the cello and the guitar in such perfect state of performance?
Well, in fact, a friend asked me about 25 years ago if there was any cross-fertilization between the two instruments, if in fact knowing one made any difference to the other, and it's a question I'm still not able to answer at the end of that this time. But in fact, you learn how to practice in a more focused way, and the great advantage of it is that any instrumentalist will have a day in which they're not really looking forward to practicing their mm-hmm. instrument, and I always have a different instrument I can practice. That's if I'm bored with one, I can play the other one.
I love that idea. Let's hear some more music. We have a couple pieces which we're going to bring together here. Traditional piece, Dark Eyes, wonderful piece. And then also Astor Piazzolla is one of my favorite composers. Argentine born, grew up in the New York Lower East Side, where he hung out, as he said, with some other musicians, but mostly prize fighters and mobsters. Anyway, the man learned how to tango. So here are two pieces now from Quartetto Gelato, Dark Eyes and the Tanti Anni Prima of Astor Piazzolla. Thank you. What a beautiful piece. This is music of Astor Piazzolla, the great tango master of Argentina. This is one of the most beautiful lyric pieces I've ever heard from his pen. a spectacularly lovely lyric oboe playing there, Cynthia.
Thank you.
It's a long, long line to sustain. This is Quartetto Gelato playing for us, and earlier we heard, I don't know what to say, not a transcription, almost an assault on the traditional tune Dark Eyes, which I always think of as a kind of gypsy tune. That's some of the most virtuoso accordion playing I've ever heard in my life. And Joe, you were doing some things I've never seen. For one thing, you imitate the cimbalom. You were talking about hearing this when you were a kid. So the Hungarian stringed instrument, mm-hmm. You kind of play with hammers. But you have to, very hard to play on the accordion, these repeated notes.
I like to live on the edge.
Yeah.
I simulated a lot of techniques from other instrumentalists on the accordion. I guess I always wanted to be an orchestral musician, but the instrument didn't always gain acceptance, so it took a long time. So I just was adapting it as a result of a lot of it from my folk experience.
Except that in the middle of that was a folk, unless my ears misled, that was Domenico Scarlatti.
That's right, a little bit of Domenico Scarlatti. Now, the reason I threw that in, I don't have a chance or time to educate audiences very often, so in order to give them a sense that this accordion can really mess up their headspace, is I kind of put something in there that doesn't really belong, and they say, where did that come from, you know, but it's just to show them that there's a whole new language of expression with the instrument beyond what they're hearing in Dark Eyes.
In the Piazzolla piece, there was one sound I've never heard from the accordion. You played a tune with your left hand alone with these buttons and took your right hand and shook the accordion rather massively to make it vibrato. Could you show us that sound?
Yeah.
It's a wonderful throaty quality, if you can find that sound.
Yeah.
You folks can't see it. He's playing it entirely with the buttons on his left hand and sort of vibrating his right hand against the keyboard to make the shake.
Actually, the first time I used that, I went to New York to do a recording. It was part of the Kurt Vile. It was a movie they were shooting, and Teresa Stratus was to sing. And I had to do something spectacular with introducing the accordion sound into the sort of French bistro atmosphere. And I wasn't sure she was going to accept it, but she said she really loved it, and it brought tears to her eyes. And so I thought, well, if it can bring tears to her eyes, it can be used again.
Yeah, it's a wonderful sound, and it got me right away. If you've tuned in the last couple of minutes, I should tell you that we're making this program with Quartetto Gelato. I'm Bill McLaughlin, and you're tuned to St. Paul Sunday. Quartetto Gelato has a very interesting website, and if you folks would like to check it out, those of you who are computer-wise and like to do this sort of thing, I think the easiest thing is to find the St. Paul Sunday website, and then we'll link you over. You can find us at sunday.mpr.org. That's sunday.m as in Minnesota, PR.org. Well, I have to say, when I started doing the show years and years ago, I never thought that I would get to hear Der Rosenkavalier, which is one of my favorite pieces all time, in this studio, because this is primarily a chamber music program. And sometimes we've had a modest-sized orchestra and chorus and done Baroque repertoire, but there's no way they can fit the enormous orchestra and cast of the opera Rosenkavalier into this studio. Somehow, Quartetto Gelato, these four wonderful musicians from Toronto, are going to play and sing a big chunk of Rosenkavalier. It's almost the whole suite. So here now, Quartetto Gelato, music of Richard Strauss, their Rosenkavalier suite.
Thank you.
Oh, that's lovely. That's also astonishing. Folks, if you tuned in the middle of this and heard a little ensemble play music of Rosenkavalier, the great opera of Richard Strauss, and were surprised to hear the Italian tenors aria come into that, you'd be even more astonished if you could be in the studio with me and watch Peter Sotto put his violin just against his chest, stand up, clear his throat slightly, and sing that. It's astonishing that you can do that, Peter. Still, I've never seen anyone make that shift of character from violinist playing beautifully.
It's enough to keep me neurotic.
And you give yourself only about a measure or two rest. That was the funny thing. Terrific. This is the Quartetto Gelato for supremely talented young players from Toronto who, it seems to me, can play just about any piece of music in the world they set their mind to. So who makes up his or her mind about what you play? Is that a group decision, or how does it work?
We each bring different pieces to the group, mm-hmm. and no piece enters the group's repertoire unless it's a unanimous decision. Mm. So whereas each one of us has, as I said, brought something, we all decide that this is something we'd love to play. And in fact, it goes back to the roots of the quartet. We began the quartet because as a professional musician, often you don't get the choice of what to play professionally. You go to orchestra rehearsal and the music's on the stand in front of you. So we wanted to be able to choose our music and only play something that we loved.
I believe I read somewhere in your promo package that you started out playing the Mozart Quartet in F major, the great oboe piece, which is a wonderful piece, and that's also a good reason for some certain group of musicians to get together. But then this step beyond the Mozart Oboe Quartet, that's the one that sort of intrigues me. Because a lot of people would say, okay, well, I'll see you next month or 2 months or a year from now when we come to the same festival. And the notion that you could sort of divorce yourself from a lot of the rest of the musical life in Toronto and concentrate on this wonderful quartet you put together is a very astonishing thing to me.
We were really actually fortunate because we began the quartet playing in a restaurant. While people were eating, tickets were sold in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. But it was an opportunity, as Cynthia says, to play just what we felt like playing. And because we weren't playing in a venue that only expected us to play a certain kind of music, uh-huh. we really have always just tried to play every kind of music that we loved. And it's not a sense that we're moving away from the Mozart Oboe Quartet. Sometimes right. we're described as a crossover quartet, but I don't think it's really apt in our case because sometimes crossover can imply a musician moving from an area of strength to an area which is not his strength or her strength. Whereas, in fact, all the music that we play, we've all played all our lives. And it's just that we've never been in a venue before which has allowed us not to have to pick and choose between what we want to play.
That's great. One of the things, George, I loved about this arrangement at Rosenkavalier is it allowed you to play the cello above middle C. You finally got into tenor clef or something there.
That's right. It's a great arrangement. Stephen McNeff, a London, England composer, did the arrangement for us, and it's a really remarkable reduction of Strauss's work.
Peter was singing the Italian singer. It's always sort of a great curiosity as to how an Italian singer shows up at the end of this great German opera, but I think it's maybe just to fit this beautiful aria in, don't you?
It's the weirdest opera because it's all sung in German, as you're saying, and suddenly this Italian singer comes out of nowhere. And I will describe it as the ultimate gig because you go up there, you sing your one song, you're out there and you leave the three sopranos to go and fend off for themselves for the next 2.5 hours of solid opera while you're on your way home.
But actually the sentiment, which is, with my breast armed with hardness, I rebelled against love, but I was defeated in a flash by two fleeting glances. I don't think you can say that as well in any other language but Italian. That's probably why Strauss did it. Let's have some more music from Quartetto Gelato. We have room for one of your sort of specialty pieces. This is Ernst Kramer, who is a composer who wrote a good deal for the recorder. I remember a couple of people played recorder music of his on the program. And this is a Hungarian rondo, more or less in the style of the Liszt Hungarian Rhapsodies, sort of slow C minor music and then livelier music, both C minor and major. And we may have a surprise for you after the Hungarian rondo, and I'll just let you identify that for yourselves. You'll know what it is. Here's Quartetto Gelato, starting with the Hungarian rondo of Ernst Kramer.
Thank you. When mama's in the meadow, place where I am lying, and kneel and say an Ave there for thee. And I shall
Irish tune from County Derry. That's what Percy Grainger called it. I suppose most of us know simply as Danny Boy. It's a beautiful version of it by the Quartetto Gelato. That was Peter De Soto, both playing violin and singing the tenor line. Cynthia Stelzis was our oboist, and we heard her earlier with a wonderful guitarist, George Milos. It's fun to hear the two of you stretch out together. That's a tremendous virtuoso piece of little Ernst Kramer, Hungarian Rondo. I didn't think you could play the guitar and oboe that fast as you did at the end.
Neither did I.
You're doing it brilliantly. What a wonderful group this is, Quartetto Gelato, four young musicians from Toronto who can play a variety of musics. They are just astonishing to me that they all play so well. A couple of recordings out now, or are there more? I've only heard two.
Three now.
Uh-huh. And
Quartetto Gelato, self-titled. Second one, Rustic Chivalry, and the third, Aria Fresca.
Mm. Well, we can help you find them via the public radio music source. You get to that by dialing 1-800-75-MUSIC and asking for Quartetto Gelato. I'm afraid that's all the time we have for music today. What a wonderful program. So let me thank again my new friends, Cynthia Stelgis, our oboist. It's great to meet you and hear you.
Thank you.
And Peter De Soto, tenor and violin.
Great to be here.
Most unusual double I've ever run into. Joseph Massarolo, wonderful accordion playing, Joe.
Real pleasure. Thank you.
And it's great to meet George Mino, who plays both the cello and the guitar extraordinarily well. Great to meet you and hear you.
Thank you.
So please do come again. I can't wait to see what the four of you turn your collective mind to next. It's a very playful and wonderful, sort of a very deeply musical at the same time experience that you provide. And that, folks, is all the time we have for music this week. Drop us a line and let us know how you like the show. You can write to us at St. Paul Sunday, care of Minnesota Public Radio, St. Paul, Minnesota 55101, or by email. Our address is sunday@mpr.org. That, again, is sunday@m.org. Okay, folks, have a great week. Make certain to tune in to all of the wonderful programming that's coming up on the station, and make even more certain to tune in next week when we'll be back here with St. Paul Sunday.
St. Paul Sunday is made possible by a major grant from the Minnesota-based General Mills Foundation, supporting excellence in education, human services, and the arts. Additional funding has been provided by the National Endowment for the Arts and by this Public Radio International station. St. Paul Sunday is produced by Minnesota Public Radio in the Maud Moon Weyerhaeuser Music Studio. Your host for the series is Bill McLaughlin. The senior producer is Mary Lee. The music producer is Steve Barnett, and the associate producer is Vaughn Ormseth. The engineer is Alan Strickland, and the production engineer is Michael DeMarc. The St. Paul Sunday website is produced by Nancy Blakestead. This is Marianne Sullivan.
You've been listening to music of Manuel de Falla, as performed by Kim Kashkashian. One of the selections on St. Paul Sunday's newest compact disc, Mixed Company. Visit our website at stpaulsunday.org to order your copy of Mixed Company, music from St. Paul Sunday. This recording includes performances of Gil Shaham, the Emerson String Quartet, and many more, all recorded for this program and many not available elsewhere. And don't forget, your purchase of this recording helps support your station and St. Paul Sunday. Order your copy of Mixed Company from the St. Paul Sunday website, stpaulsunday.org.
PRI, Public Radio International.